Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's continue our teachings. All right, so Galatians chapter 3, let's continue reading. I'm going to go very far today, I hope, because the summary of what is being discussed here, we have explained at the beginning. Paul, again, was trying to emphasize the supremacy of Christianity to the law and why the law was not necessary, all right, for the Galatians to be able to achieve righteousness or walking in a manner that's pleasing to God. So we began in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus was portrayed publicly, he said, as crucified. This is one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? He said, does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Then he went into the discussion from verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham, and in effect, not those who are of natural descent. That's what he was saying. Now, and the scripture prophesying that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. And as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the scripture says, the righteous shall live or acquire life by his faith, by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. He was quoting Moses here. Now, that's in this second quote. He said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, let me just stop there. Again, after that, we'll quickly rush down from verse 15 to 29 before we go into chapter 4. I want to try and be fast so that we won't stay too long in this book of Galatians. Now, what Paul was explaining, remember, don't forget the thing we tried to do. Two things. One, number one, we get the sense in what Paul was saying, and then we pick the lessons of life that we can learn from the things that are written, the things that are recorded. Now, last time I explained what it meant to have somebody bewitched, and that's a serious principle about life. I'm not going to go over that again. But there are a number of points I want to bring out here. When you talk about how somebody begun in the Spirit, and how possible it can be that he will be perfected or finish that which he begun in the Spirit by the flesh. And then we also see what he meant when he said that God works miracles, all right, by the works of the law, not by the works of the law, but by hearing with faith. But before I go into those things, what's the sense of what Paul is saying here? It's still the same thing. He's trying to explain to the people that justification does not come by the law, but by walking by faith. Do you understand my point? And let me quickly say this. Was he saying, in effect, that people don't need sets of rules and regulations or right living to be able to walk, all right, righteously or walk in a manner pleasing to God? That was not exactly what he was saying. There's something about Christianity, I said at the beginning, it starts from a different parameter. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, it doesn't try to please God by the works. But having discovered that he's pleasing to God, he does works that come out of the heart that is pleasing to God. We start from the point of righteousness, not trying to attain righteousness by works, but that we have already been reconciled to God and we are pleasing to God by faith. That's how good works come out of our lives. But you see something as we go on in chapter 4 that is said that there's a difference between somebody who is an adult and that which is a child, even though he's a proper heir. That is, even though we have the righteousness of God in our hearts, sometimes we have, now listen to this, codes by which we walk as believers. It doesn't mean we walk lawlessly. But what Paul was talking about, all right, is that it's not to transport the law. Do you understand my point? Because let me say this to you again. I think I said it before. I hope I don't have to go by everything again. The law was not just about codes. Do you follow? It was a representation of the covenant. Because the danger in using the law was that you transported a lot of things. For example, the law wasn't just, for example, about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, which would appear like a righteous thing to decree. But the law was also about thou shalt circumcise your son on the eighth day, which was a matter of entering into a covenant with God. Do you get what I'm saying? And those are the things that Paul totally disagreed with. That no, that's not how we attain righteousness. We discussed that one before when I was introducing the issue. Now, what I want to bring out again here is this. Paul was now proving the issue that justification, that is the promise that God gave Abraham, all right, was given before the law was given. And the promise, all right, was tied, let me put it like this, was tied to the relationship God had with Abraham. Therefore, obedience to the law could not be the basis upon which the promise of God will come into somebody's life. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. Let's see, like I said, I'll rush through this. I don't want us to get into the details of the, you know, plenty story behind it. But later on, you find out what the purpose of the law was. What he was just emphasizing to the people is that, please, don't import Judaism into Christianity, thinking that by doing that, you will now be pleasing to God. Or, you know, I think I mentioned this one last time. People have tried to argue, which day should we go to church? And people have tried to argue, which day should we go to church? And I say, any day we like. Say, well, that God never said it's Sunday. You know, many years ago, I think it was Jehovah's Witness or some people wrote the magazine. And they tried to explain that the reason why we go to church on Sundays is because one pope decreed that Saturday was no longer the Sabbath day. It was now Sunday. And they told the story to let it show that the thing changed because of the decree of man. Do you follow what I'm saying? And why were they saying it? They wanted to prove to us that we were walking in iniquity and we're disobeying the law of God because we are now following the law of a man. Now, I read it. I don't know whether I understood this then or was after that I remembered it. And I said, that was a very silly argument. I never thought that Sabbath day changed from Saturday to Sunday. There's a very famous Bible that tried to prove that God now ordained Sunday. And I was reading it. I said, what's wrong with these people? That is not the point. Please, follow what I'm saying. That the point is not Wednesday is now Sabbath. The point is not about the observance of Sabbath. Oh, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to explain. That the issue now is now, okay, is it Sabbath or is it Sunday or Saturday that Sabbath? Number one, like I said last time, those who say, no, we must go to church on Saturday, I said, they are not even sure that whether the sequence has not been distorted over the years. You know, I explained to you that if you read the history of the calendar, you'll be afraid. You'll be afraid. There are days that don't exist even in the history of the calendar. The calendar was changed several times. And as of today, what we use is what is called the Gregorian calendar. And that's why if you buy Concord, I don't know about now, but those days when M.K. Abiola was still alive, they always used to give their dates two ways. They'll give you the normal date that we all know, and then they'll give you the Islamic date. Because the way the Islamists counted their calendar, it's very close to the Jewish one. Their months had, I think, maybe 28 days. You understand? Is it has it? Is it? And they have 30 months in a year. You know, little different things like that. The day the Chinese celebrate is New Year is different from the one the Russians celebrate their New Year, and it's different from the one we celebrate. And we do the one we do now because the English people conquered the world for a very long period of time, and they taught us their own ways. So look, also all those very funny arguments of when should we go to church? Is it Saturday or Sunday or Monday? I said, listen, it is when it is convenient. Do you know why Kingdom World Ministries holds meetings on Saturdays? A number of reasons. Number one, I make it clear I'm not trying to start a church. The body of Christ has a lot of problems, amen? And starting another church is not going to solve it. You are just going to start a church where the people don't know how to prophesy, amen?
They don't know how to do other thing than teach, because the guy who started this, all he does is teach. I don't know what I'm going to explain. And then everybody now becomes bent in a particular direction. They are not balanced. Listen, let me say clearly to you. You can't listen to Pastor Banky alone and you'll be balanced in life. It is not possible. If it was possible, maybe I'm another Jesus Christ. Then there are two of us. The first one and this is the next guy. But since I am not, and I refuse that claim, even if you say, that man is so holy, I think he's under Jesus Christ. You're on your own. I don't. I'm as much another Jesus Christ as every believer, all right, is another Jesus Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? So you cannot follow one man in life and you'll be balanced. I mean, you should listen to T.D. Jakes once in a while. Let him shout the will of God into your head. You know, everybody was going to talk calmly like Pastor Bank. There are those that cannot preach more than 15 minutes. But in those 15 minutes, hear ye the word of the Lord. God said I should. And they're not lying. No. They're not jokers. You know, God forgive us. Oh, Father God, we're in trouble in this church now, worldwide. Except God has mercy. We need a lot of mercy. There are a lot of jokers out there who carry microphones. There are plenty. I don't mean this as an insult. Did I call anybody's name? I didn't. But believe me, there are serious people. And when you identify a serious man, you will know. Like when you encounter him, you will know. You will know. That's why the other day my wife and I listened to the TDJ for just like 10 minutes or so. No, the whole program actually, but didn't preach for too long. In the first 5 minutes, I was just getting excited when this man was talking. I'm just bringing out something that, listen, this is just, I'm digressing there, but I'm not trying to have another group of people that listen to me alone. And, you know, I know I can mention names without Christian. You go to some church, okay, let me not mention name. There are two churches there, he's laughing. There are two churches in Nigeria today. If you ask me, once I drop this microphone, I'll tell you. Well, even if I died, don't bury me using one of their pastors. I won't agree. My body will refuse. And listen, I'm talking about Pentecostal churches. I will mention two of them. And I won't say it here. You can ask me personally, I will tell you. There's nothing secret about it. Alright? No, I'm serious. And my reason is very simple. Talk to their members. I've never seen... How can Christians be so stupid? You go to a church, means that they should fry your brain. You can't use it again. You use it to cook. One single man of God, he's the apostle. I heard this, I couldn't believe it. He's the apostle, he's the prophet, he's the evangelist, he's the teacher. He's everything. And he said it. Do you need to go anywhere else? Am I not your apostle? Am I not your pastor? Am I not your teacher? Am I not your, what's the other one? Evangelist? Do you know? This is a man I respect so much. I mean, I respected him enough to put his message in my car and be listening to it. He said, don't mind them. That one man came up to him one day and said that he's a prophet and God sent him to him. He said, I told him, just go away with your prophecy. I don't want to hear. I said, this man, you see, you have become deaf. Big man of God. He said, where did you ever see in the Bible that God sent a prophet to a prophet? I took the tape from home. So, I was listening to it. And my mom had listened to it before that. And, you know, and all of them in my house listened to it. And they were kind of carried away. They didn't go to the church, but they got the messages. And someone I came and were listening to it, and the man said that. And my mother laughed. No, she had bought it, all right? And I said, mommy, that is not true. She's like, what? I quickly gave her two examples from the scriptures. She said, people like you are hard to deceive. I said, number one, can you remember the man that God sent to go and prophesy against the altar that this king in Israel? Yes, Jeroboam's altar. What? No, they didn't mention that guy's name. I said, an older prophet came and said to him, thus says the Lord. But he was lying. But then, again, the Spirit of God came upon that older prophet and he prophesied against the younger prophet and he was speaking the word of God. I said, let's read the Bible. David was actually a prophet. Go and read the Psalms. In fact, there was a scripture I read the other day that the Bible made it clear that the man was a prophet. David used to prophesy. But when he sinned, did God not send Nathan to him? I gave my mother two examples. I said, listen, when a prophet is backsliding, God sends another prophet to him. And understand this. Prophet, you are a prophet doesn't mean that you can hear God directly for yourself. You are a messenger. You can get a message from another person. My mother said, people like you are hard to deceive. I said, I beg, don't sell that one to me at all. Is that telling me that can a teacher be taught by another teacher? Why not? How do I learn the things that I know? Things, everything that the Holy Spirit is about to come. You know everything. Don't listen to anybody else. Just, if I were you, the day I say that, just say, guys, I did come. I say, I did come. I won't go buy water downstairs. Just buy the water across the road and don't come back. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? No, I'm just going to say something. So I was really, really, I was surprised when I heard that one. No. So the judge I'm telling you about, the problem I have with them is that's just that problem. That they so idolize the man in front there. That if the man and God stood side by side and God said, look, choose this day whom you will serve. They will say, we will serve pastor. People are like that. I'm serious. Now, so I know I've digressed so much, all right? But I hope you learned some things from these my digressions, I hope. Now, the point I'm just making is that why do we do this? I said, no, it's Saturday because it's convenient. I expect that most people that come here go to a church or the other, all right? And I go also. So I don't want to be, in quote, in competition with the assemblies we all go to. So on Sunday morning, I also rise up early and go to church. I avoid most days that other people meet so that to allow people participate in their local churches and also be able to take out the time to hear the word of God. And I choose Saturday evenings partly because it's the most convenient free time for most people. Now, there's no time that's convenient for everybody. But I think we have made enough allowances under such circumstances, you know, when we put it on Saturday evening. It's convenient. There's nothing holy about the day. That's what I'm coming to. Listen, the same principle applies on Sundays. Sunday is not a holy day. In Jesus' name, hear me. It's not a holy day. It's just a convenient day. Because worldwide, apart from in China, and in these Arab countries, it's a public holiday. I've said it before, if I were a pastor in northern Nigeria, I'll probably hold my services on Fridays, in the afternoon, not even at night. And not even in the morning. You say why? One, weekends there are public holidays, alright? Like in the rest of Nigeria, that's Thursday, Saturday and Sunday, okay? But Friday is when the whole community goes to their worship, centers. And since Jesus said, be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. When everybody is moving into the mosque, I also move into the church. There's no law about that, too. I'm just talking about being pragmatic, what is convenient. Do you follow? Now, I'm not saying I must do that. It's a reasoning that just comes through my mind. Sunday is convenient. That's why we go to church on Sunday. Because we know, as we are in church on Sunday, in Lagos, they are in church on Sunday. I know a particular church that they are these Judaistic kind of Christians. You know, they don't believe, you know, they believe in obeying the law, you know, the way it is, all right? But then they don't believe in a lot of the things that other Christians do. A lot of them I also don't believe in, you know, things like Jesus was born on December 25th. We all know he was not born December 25th. Do you follow what I'm saying? Nobody's arguing that fact, all right? It's just the day that we choose to say we are doing Christmas, all right? So it's not a very serious day for me. I'm not saying. But in their own church, it's a rule. It must not have anything to do with Christmas or Easter. Easter is where I'm going to. But their church convention, this is the point, holds every Easter. You know why? It's the longest public holiday in Nigeria. It starts on Friday and ends on Monday. And it's like that every time. The Muslim holidays, even when they are long, you don't know when they are going to start. They can start on Monday, Tuesday, and then there will be 2 days. So, but this one, you are sure. You will start Friday, and you have another one on Monday. So you have a very long weekend. What I'm saying is that they don't believe in Easter quite all right, yes. But it's convenient for them. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? And I think Christians should understand that. Some of these things that we hold and make it look like it's the will of the word of God, they are not. We have come to adapt them because they are convenient. If I say this again, you know, people won't like it, but it's the truth. People say, this is the house of God. I say, where is the house of God? They say, the church. I say, it's a lie. There's no building on this earth that's the house of God. All of them are convenient meeting places. I don't care. In fact, you know, I went to preach yesterday night. Someone invited me. I went upstairs. I said, thank you very much for inviting me. That this is the first time I'm preaching on a marble pulpit. Very nice marble pulpit. I don't care whether you use marble for the pulpit. All right? Or gold for the pulpit. Use pure silver for the floor. It's not the house of God. You know what it is? A convenient meeting place. For example, this place is convenient. The chairs are here. When we wanted to start this work, we had options of meeting in restaurants. And in fact, the first place I tried was a hotel. It was a hotel down the road where one could, you know, just. But then the place was very quiet. They didn't want. Maybe they don't want to do church, you know. In fact, I don't believe in hotels like that. If they don't, when you hear people bang drum, you will change your mind about allowing them into your hotel. But I couldn't persuade them that, look, there's nothing like that. We just want to sit down and learn. But what I'm saying is that later on, we now got this space. We had to pay a lot of money to start and put things in order and buy chairs and all of that. It appeared like, why don't you just go somewhere and be renting? I said, but by the time you pay rent somewhere for like 3 months, you will have paid enough, all right, to hire this place for the whole year. So over time, we developed it, you know, kept on increasing, you know, things kept on changing. What I'm saying is that this is the house of God, arrant nonsense. This is a business district. We're on the top floor. Right below us is a cyber cafe. The one below that is Caruso Studios. For your information, Caro, Leave Ashewo was recorded down there. You know that song? Very stupid song, Vampy. And we're all in one building. There's no God in the building. I hope you get what I'm saying. But when you and I gather like this, even if it's under a mango tree, automatically that big place becomes the dwelling place of God. Once we go away, the presence has gone too. Apart from the love he has for our equipment and our chairs, that's what abides in the place. So I hate hearing that thing. This is the house of God. My mind said, will you shut up? God doesn't have a house on the earth right now. He doesn't. If I'm the pastor of a church, you know what I mean, I want to build a church, believe me, I'll just build a beautiful hall. Whether it's wedding or disco party, whichever one you want to do, the place will just be fine. There's no shape. I'm not putting the shape of any cross anywhere. It's not necessary. The reason being that, listen to this clearly, God does not have a house on the earth. Where he dwells in is where? The hearts of men, you and I. Know you not that your bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. I like the way Amplifier said it. He said, both individually and collectively, that you are the temple. Your presence, whether you're in a thatched roof or in St. Peter's Basilica, you are the presence. Now, I was telling you on Saturday about people who went to where Jesus Christ supposedly was laid down after he died. And they say, this was where the Lord was laid down. They lay on the floor, they roll. The Jews are making money from your foolishness. Tourism, big money in Israel. They don't believe in your Jesus Christ, it's your problem. You say it's your God, that's your own issue. Just bring the money to come and see where we tell you he used to stay. And they say, oh boy, this is just by the way. They say, revenue is drying up. Revenue is drying up. What do we do? Invent something. All right. Sycamore tree. This was the one that Zacchaeus climbed. They will invent it for you. You don't know those people. Juice. Ha! Serious business people. I said this here once. That somebody said that there were two different tombs of Jesus Christ. One brother said, I know. He came and showed me the two photographs. Sit down there. Jesus, this is one tomb of Jesus, depending on the company that carried you on top. And ignoramuses will go there and be rolling. Oh, the tomb of my Lord. I was going to say Jesus is shaking his head in heaven. He doesn't even look at them, so he doesn't have time to shake his head. It's all the angels that will be laughing. One angel will come to Creoni, say, yes, come and say, I'm that foolish Nigerian. He has traveled all the way down to come and lie down on the slab that Mary Magdalene found the Lord sitting down. Who knows what those things are? Nobody.
But you see, I'm just emphasizing what Paul was trying to say to people here. Let's forget all those things, all right? You'll see on later on the way he now tried to place the Galatians in his teaching, helping them to come up to a particular level. Now, please, I hope you're following these things. So, the law was not the way by which Christians could attain, okay, to righteousness. But we do that which is right, because inside us dwell the Spirit of God. Do you understand my point? Inside us, you find the Spirit of God dwelling. Therefore, we can do the works that are pleasing to God. And that's what Paul was trying to explain to them. That, now, talking about that Abraham. Now, I said I will emphasize a number of things. Let me just quickly do that, okay? I tell too many stories. Now, let me emphasize the first thing. He said, we'll talk about being bewitched. He said, the only thing I want to know from you, verse 2, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, when we talked about profiting from the word of God, I don't know how many of us were around for this series. There's something that I explained then and we learned. And that's the fact that Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Be what? Careful how you hear. The reason is because it is the hearing with faith, all right, that actually releases the power of God into our lives. Quickly open your Bibles, all right, to the book of Ezekiel, one of my favorite scriptures. I'll just explain that principle. In fact, where I went to preach yesterday, what I was telling you about, it's an Orthodox church. They had a fellowship, and the title of my message was God's Solution to Man's Problems. All right? Ezekiel chapter 2. I'll tell you what I said in a moment. I always like to read from Ezekiel chapter 1, because where the 2 is a continuation of what started in 1. Now, Ezekiel had a vision, great vision, begin from verse 26 of chapter 1. It described the appearance of a figure that looked like a man. Then in verse 27, he said, then I noticed the appearance of his loins and all of that. And the thing was very, very great. So go to verse 28. It said, as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. All right? Describe the whole thing that he saw. Now, this is the summary. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard the voice speaking. Before I read what the voice said, notice something. When he saw this thing, he did not fall on his face out of respect. He fell because he was overwhelmed by the glory of God in that place. Do you understand my point? You know, you hear that the temple was filled with the glory of God, therefore the priests were not able to stand to minister. That was what happened to him. So, strength left him and he fell. Then the next thing he said is in verse 1 of chapter 2, which is just a continuation. So then he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak to you. And as he spoke to me, notice this, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. That's what I wanted to read. Notice that God gave him a commandment, and he made it clear this was a commandment I could not obey myself. Do you understand that? I couldn't obey it. But when the word of God came, let me put my own words to it and summarize it so all of us can understand. As the word of God was coming forth, and it meant readiness in my heart, then the Spirit wrote upon those words, because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That is, they are spirit, they convey a spiritual substance that imparts life into the place that is going. So he said, when he said something, a spirit, see, God doesn't just give advice, not just a commandment, but enablement. Do you understand my point? When Jesus said, rise, take up your pallet and walk, he was not advice. He was saying that these words contain the power, do you get my point, to strengthen you. When he said, the child who was dead, he said, little child, what do you call it? Little girl, I say unto you, arise, all right? Talita Kumi, remember that? I first heard Talita Kumi actually as a child from a friend of mine. I thought it was a magic word. When we were going to play magic, said Talita Kumi, Talita Kumi. I didn't know it was a little girl, I say unto you what? Arise. Now this fellow was dead. But the word, so it wasn't advice. Say, get up, your mama, they cry. That's not the advice. It was, this is enablement to bring you back to life. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth even though he was bound. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Lazarus came forth even though he was what? He was bound. Please, do you get what I'm trying to explain? So that was what happened here to Ezekiel. Ezekiel received the ability to do that which he could not do. Because the word of God wrote, the Spirit of God wrote upon the words. And now, that's what Paul was saying. He said, there is a way by which, well, I told that I preached somewhere yesterday. I said, the solution to the problems of mankind is the entrance, that's the summary of it, of God's word. It's when we learn the divine order that we discover that what came into our lives as a result of disobedience to divine order will suddenly be corrected automatically. And most of the problems in life is because of disobedience to divine order. Do you understand my point? That's what I preached yesterday. Now, what Paul was now saying here is this. I want to find out from you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, that is the operation of the power of God in your life, all right, by which you were saved, converted from your sins, healed, delivered from frustration and the confusion and poverty, and brought forth into prosperity? That's what they called the Spirit. Do you follow what I mean? By which you were, he said, by which you were filled, all right, so as to enable you to do the word of God, the work of God. He said, did you receive it by the works of the law? Let me explain what that meant. What is in that? What did you do? Do you get my point? To have these things happen in your life. Let me say to you again. Listen. You don't get things from God by arguing what you have done. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me say it. The commonest one these days is that, God, I have given, you will give me back. It's a very stupid argument to use in prayer. Please, though, I will say it until any day you want to try it, your conscience won't let you rest. In fact, you will fall down on your knees when you want to try that nonsense. People say, carry your checkbook and wave it to God. Listen, that is not the premise upon which you receive the operation of the Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot, listen, as Christians, Paul said that there's a way by which those people do things under the law. They will finish and say, we have done everything. But Christians, we don't do that. What did God say? If you have done everything, go home and say, Lord, I have done everything. Is there anything more for me to do? You don't, on the premise of what you have done, ask for an operation of the Spirit. Do you get what I'm trying to say? What's operation of the Spirit? You want... We had a meeting in my house. One man said, please, I have a question. It's a couple's meeting. Is it true that when you carry all your money to church, your business will begin to prosper? I said, it's a lie. I said, it's not true. I said, the reason is simple. God knows your motive. If you want to go and bribe me so your business can prosper, but better use that money to hire Accenture, all right? Hire an accounting firm, PricewaterhouseCoopers, to help you reorganize your business. But please, you cannot say, God, I want to give money so that you will prosper my business. I said, all right. So what's wrong with just going home and asking me to prosper your business? Are you very, very deaf? You didn't hear the story of Jabez? Go and read the book, Prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. He said, but this person gave widow Zarephath, and she got. I said, wait. She did not go and bribe God. I don't know whether you are getting my point. A prophet showed up at her doorstep with a special message. If a special message comes to you from a prophet, not a general message that somebody preaches from a pulpit, the operation is very different. Do you get what I'm saying? When it talks about, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? That's what I want you to understand. When you want to be blessed by God, learn to just ask. You see, I told you I was preaching yesterday about the solution to man's problems. The solution, he said, he sent his word and healed them. As the word of God is flowing into your life, so is the ability, all right, of God flowing into your life. What you need, all right, as a Christian is what? Faith. Every other thing you do in life is so as to build up your faith. And a product of a faith that is built up. Please, get that one very, very clear. You can't argue, I did this, that's why God blessed me. No. It's the way it works is simple.
I heard the word of God and I believed it. That's how God takes all the glory. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making there. So he said, it's by hearing with faith. Let me emphasize that again. I told you I was teaching somewhere yesterday. This is exactly what I taught them. That this is how you solve the problems of life. You give attention. He said, my son. Quickly, open your Bible down. Quickly. Proverbs chapter 4. I told you seeds too is coming. Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Seminar Season 2. Why did I say Season 2? Because in our church we did a program, the choir, called the Halal Season 1. So they say Season 2 is coming. I said, very good. So when we are doing Season 2, I was saying Part 2 is Season 2. Now this is just gist, alright? This is just by the way, alright? This is not Bible. You know, slangs the day, we could just crawl into the society. Everybody would use them. If you watch, my pastor's program, that's my Lagos pastor, Pastor Bojo. It's always powered by Covenant Christian Center. You know, powered by the first time I heard powered by, it was by web designers. So he said, this page, the first guy who did our own, but listen, this page is powered by Asterix Innovative. That was the first guy. So you see, powered by. So I actually thought that powered by was that there's a machine they are using to generate the website. I'm using power. So it says powered by. After some time, everywhere I go, you open this paper, powered by PZ. Powered by. I say, oh, you mean PZ is the one powering it with money? I get the point now. So this is powered by Covenant Christian Center. That's what Pastor Boji also they use there. So the next one, instead of saying Part 2, now is what? Season 2. So that's the new slang in town. Therefore, we are coming up with Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Seminar Season 2. The Lord is good. I let you open somewhere. Proverbs chapter 4. This is the way the word of God works. He said, my son, verse 20, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. This is the New American Standard. It says, they are held to their whole body. What is it? Words. In fact, I like the way one man interpreted this word, health. He said, the Hebrew also has an alternative rendering, which is what? Medicine. He said, it's medicine to their whole body. Derek Prince gave a testimony. In fact, he has a book on it called God's Medicine Bottle. All right? He said, it was in the military. There was a time he developed a chronic skin disorder. A form of chronic dermatitis. They didn't have any specific diagnosis for him. And for a long time, doctors treated, and he didn't get well. Along the line, he gave his life to Christ, and one day he was reading the Bible, and he got to this particular point. So when he got to this particular point, this Proverbs chapter 4, he noticed that the Bible said it's medicine to their whole body. So he decided to start using the word of God as medicine. After a few weeks, I've forgotten the exact number of weeks now. I think about 3 months, he said. The whole ailment cleared entirely. So he decided to go and preach. God heals. You understand? The word of God heals. That it's medicine to their whole body. Are you getting my point? That is, let's go back to our Galatians so we don't lose track too much. That's what he meant when he says, is by hearing with faith. This is how the word of God brings the manifestation of God into people's lives. When they pay attention and they bear fruit, remember with what? Perseverance. Please, let me not speak further on that particular issue, but recommend that we should all get that MP3 CD. So no, it was on one single MP3 CD now. Profiting by the word of God. What Paul was saying is that the manifestation, listen, you know, I'm sorry to say this, you know, oh God. It's just that this happens a lot, and so people ask those things. The man who asked me and said that, is it true that when you give, you park all your money to church, your business, you do well? I think that is a lie. And actually, it's a lie.
people think that when you want to prosper, all right, you aggressively give to God and you aggressively receive from God. Should I tell you the truth? I'm a Bible teacher. It's not true.